heaven.
This morning, as I thought about today's message and the title, which I don't like to title my sermons, but unfortunately we're told to because it helps people to focus. But as I thought about this, I thought that we're going to take a contemporary look, a modern-day look, at an ancient event that happened so many years ago in Jerusalem, and decided to call this The Problem with Pop Culture. If you don't know what pop culture is, pop culture is the culture of our society today that our society creates by living in the moment. In other words, whatever everybody's doing, that's the thing to do. Whatever everybody's buying, that's the thing to buy. In other words, you know, we all got to do it because it's the popular thing for the moment, and we all live in the moment. And it creates a culture that's very, very unhealthy for human beings. This morning I hope that you can see the problem with our pop culture today. So we see the grand parade that we know as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is a story that's common in all four Gospels of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew was presenting Jesus as the king. Mark was presenting Jesus as the servant. Luke was presenting Jesus as the human man. And John was presenting Jesus as the Son of God. And here this king, servant, man, and Son of God came into Jerusalem in the grand parade on that first day of the week. As the people laid their cloaks on the road, the Gospel of John doesn't mention this particular part. The palm branches spread on the road is not mentioned in Luke. However, it doesn't mean that it's not important. It is important. And what the people were proclaiming as Jesus came into Jerusalem. And in our text this morning, we have to understand a little bit of what was going on prior to this, in the days prior to this. A large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was staying in Bethany. If you read chapter 12 from the beginning, it was 6 days before the Passover, which would have put it on the Saturday before. Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And there was a dinner given in Jesus' honor, probably at the house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, but we don't really know. And while he was there, it tells us in verse 9, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there. And they came out to Bethany, not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They were curious. They heard this story that Jesus had raised a man from the dead, so they went out not only to see Jesus, but to see Lazarus. So the chief priests there made plans to kill Lazarus also. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in Jesus. In our text today, it tells us the next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Now, this was the Passover feast, and pilgrims from all over had come to Jerusalem to celebrate. A great crowd, it tells us, were there for the feast, and they heard Jesus was on his way. So they took palm branches and they went out to meet Jesus, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Proclaiming that Jesus was the true King of Israel. Now, it's at this part that John doesn't tell us an awful lot about the donkey. But he does tell us that Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written. You see, John is a book that we've been talking about a lot in Bible study for the past few months. John is a book that tells us of the sign miracles of Jesus. There's seven main sign miracles: turning water into wine, healing the official's son, healing the invalid at Bethsaida, the feeding of the 5,000, walking on water, restoring sight to the blind, and raising of Lazarus. Those are what we call the seven sign miracles of Jesus. It meant something to the people. There was only one person who could do these things, and it was the God of Israel, Jehovah, Yahweh, the great Yahweh. But in the Gospel of John, John shows us that in Jesus' ministry, through these miracles that he performed, raising a man from the dead was
living proof before their very eyes that there was something special about Jesus. And John tells us that he was the Son of God. And it was just as it had been written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." Now, this is one sign that's common in Matthew and John. And it's a fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9. If you ever turn there and look at that, Zechariah chapter 9 is a prophecy or an oracle that is predicting and prophesying, first of all, the victories of Alexander the Great and a coming king to take over that land. But it also is a prophecy telling of the coming of the great king. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the donkey." And his reign would be a reign of peace. Unfortunately, he was killed and that didn't take place. But as it is written, he came on a donkey riding into Jerusalem. Now, the importance of this prophecy fulfillment was huge to the Jewish people. It gave proper identity to the Messiah and a theological understanding of who Jesus really was, the Son of God or God in the flesh. You see, the Jewish people knew that God had promised he was going to send a Messiah, a great king, and they were looking for him. But in that culture of that day, there were many proclaimed messiahs. Guys that went around doing all kinds of really neat things, charismatic things. But they didn't fulfill the prophecies about the true Messiah and the true king. Jesus' whole ministry was a time of fulfilling those prophecies, identifying him as the true Messiah. Jesus' ministry was all about signs. It was as much theological as it was teleological. Teleological is what we know about God. It teaches us this, especially this event, and the other signs, teaches us about God and the way he fulfills his prophecy, but the fact that he does. And in the way that God reveals himself in fulfilled prophecy. Here was the man before their very eyes that fulfilled all the prophecies of God. But as Jesus' life began to come to an end, his ministry and his message began to ramp up. He walked into his death court on that Palm Sunday. But his ministry didn't stop, neither did his message. Throughout the week, he would come in and out of Bethany into Jerusalem to teach each day. And all it did was stir up the ire of the Pharisees, the chief priests, and the religious leaders. Sadly, popular culture in the society of the day was controlled by prideful and unbelieving people who were more concerned with themselves and their own agendas and their own glory. In verse 10, chapter 12, verse 10, it tells us the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. In other words, if we can kill the proof, we can kill the claim. And later on, they said, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." The disciples and all who followed Jesus into the city shouting praises. But they didn't understand, so they were led astray later in the week as the week went on, and peer pressure started to increase. Fear set in, doubt came over the people, and it tells us in verse 37, even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. They still would not believe in him. It also told us in verse 42, at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God. Every sign Jesus gave us points to his authority and identity and tells us he is the one. The problem of the day then was popular opinion, pop culture, and the influence that it has on society was very strong in that day. It determined social status. It involved degradation of those who would not comply and go along with the crowd. In other words, if they didn't go along with the crowd and popular opinion, they were no good, they were nothing. They were lower, you see. We see this kind of stuff going on today in our world. The news tries to tell us what's right and what's wrong. And a lot of people believe it. They think that's the holy word, the holy truth. The news station tells us it's okay to do this. The news station lies to us and tells us polls, popular polls, say that a high percentage of people do this and do this, so you should too. When you get down to the truth, you find out it's not true. That they're just trying to sway public opinion. Today in our society, we're taught toleration. We're supposed to be tolerant of other people and other people's beliefs. I want to tell you something. Do you know who was not tolerant of other beliefs? Was Jesus. When Jesus found out someone didn't believe or believed something different, in love, patiently, he sat and told them the truth. He didn't say, oh, that's okay. Yeah, you're good. You're good to go. No, he said, let me tell you the truth. And the truth will set you free. But we're taught today about toleration. We're supposed to get along. Okay? We're not supposed to mention our faith because maybe somebody else of another faith or doesn't believe in Jesus. That's okay for them. And this is okay for us. We're taught today that economic position is what's important. And we can't mention the fact that we're a Christian or that we believe in Jesus at our jobs because we're going to get fired. The news just recently told about certain executives who were against things that the Bible's against. They stood for biblical truth, and the community and society went in an uproar. So they were either fired or they stepped down because of pop culture pressure. Pop culture tells us today, as it did in Corinth. Remember the stories about Corinth last week? All the things the Corinthians were doing that Paul said to them, these are not Christian practices, these are pagan practices. But pop culture in Corinth said, it's okay, it's all good. And Paul said, it's not all good. In fact, the Corinthians boasted because they were involved in those things. And many today, as in Paul's time, are actually boasting about those very actions. The popular opinion of Jesus' day reared its head as the week went on, and the chief priests and the Pharisees and the religious leaders convinced the people to convict Jesus and have him crucified. I could just hear if they had television and CNN was on. Popular poll would show that Jesus isn't accepted by the people in Jerusalem. Popular poll would show that those who know better don't choose Jesus. Popular poll would show that Jesus is not the most popular person to follow. Popular poll would show that if you follow Jesus, you're not going to have those high positions and be blessed. The truth could not have been any clearer in regards to who Jesus was and is today. The truth cannot be any clearer. His fulfillment of prophecy was mind-boggling. Giving sight to the blind, healing the lame, feeding thousands with nothing, walking on the water. in Isaiah chapter 61 concerning the prophecy about the coming Messiah. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners." Speaking of the coming ministry of the Messiah that was to come. Jesus stood up in Luke chapter 4 in the synagogue and was handed the scroll, unrolled it to Isaiah 61. He read it, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel, or the good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are bruised." He laid the scroll down and he looked at the people as they were quiet, waiting for his next words, and he said, "I tell you the truth, this has been fulfilled in your hearing." In verse 28, Luke tells us, all in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. And they rose up and they cast him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built. They were going to throw him over the cliff, but passing through their midst, he went away. They were enraged because Jesus stood there and told them, "I am the one Isaiah was speaking about." The signs were everywhere, and they still are today. It was the chief priests and the Pharisees who led the rebellion against Jesus. And still today, it is those who know better. The other day I read that 67% of high school graduates believe that religion is important. 29% of college graduates believe that religion is important. I've been in these situations in college classrooms. Choose wisely where you send your children. Someone told me the story the other day about a student that was in a college here locally. And the professor on the first class of the semester said, "How many here believe in God?" And three in the class raised their hand. He handed out a paper that said three words, "God is dead." And he said, "I want you all to sign this." Imagine that. Imagine how God felt about that. Folks, that's sad. That's sad that our college professors are telling our children this kind of crap. It's garbage. And fortunately, that one person who I heard about did not sign that paper. Recent movie like God's Not Dead and Noah. Although I have heard Noah's very, very marginal, I encourage you before you go see Noah. And here's the thing. I read an article the other day that the man said this movie Noah is good because it's getting people to go home and look at their Bibles. That's backwards. Read your Bible first about the story of Noah and what the Bible says throughout about Noah. Then go see the movie. Don't see the movie first and then go see what the Bible says about it. Because the movie's not the rule. The Bible is. And I've heard biblically the movie is horrible. Praise God for shows like Duck Dynasty. You might not care for the guys, but what a message they are sending as A&E tried to rid them, get rid of them, and get their message off the air. And it didn't work because the power of the Holy Spirit is more powerful than society today. And in fact, what pleased me is that in each new season, when they pray, now they're praying in the name of Jesus. What an awesome testimony. Faith. Their motto is faith, family, and ducks. Praise God for books like Heaven's for Real and many other books that have brought our people now closer to God, back in church and back into God's Word. Although sometimes we have to be a little careful with some of these things. When we read these books, we have to know what we're reading. I have a term for some of this. It's called commercial Christianity, in which people write books to please pop culture so they'll sell books. In our local school, The 7th and 8th grade basketball team, girls basketball team, was getting ready to start their season. The first game of the season, the two coaches met with the girls outside the gym. And they said, let's pray the Lord's Prayer before we go in. And they did at all their games. But at that first game, they said, let's pray the Lord's Prayer before we pray, before we play. And you know what? I think there were probably 9, maybe 12 girls on the team. The majority of them said, what's that? What's that? They didn't have a clue what the Lord's Prayer was. And that tells you where they've been for 13, 14 years. Or better yet, where they haven't been. You see, the reason they don't know about God and our kids don't know about God anymore is because pop culture is removing the presence of God from our culture and society. And when you remove God, they have no choice. And we say, well, I want to give my kids the choice. I want to let them make the choice. That's wrong. We have a biblical mandate to raise our children in the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We have a biblical mandate to raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they're older, they'll return to it. I am living proof of the truth of that scripture. Praise God for my mother and father and my grandmother. Although I strayed away in my teens, like most teens do, I came back because I knew the world out there didn't have the answers I was looking for. So how do we know? How do we know what to believe? What would we have done on this Palm Sunday? It says the disciples didn't understand all this, but they watched it. And it was only after Jesus was glorified in hindsight did they realize these things that had been written about Him. How do we know what's truth in our society today and what's not? Well, you folks know what I'm going to say. First of all, right here is the truth. Everything in your life that you need to know about living, true living and blessed living, is right here. Secondly, we know by the Holy Spirit that bears witness with our spirit, because the Holy Spirit will not contradict God's Word, because the Holy Spirit was the one that inspired the writers of the Bible. So through the reading of the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit speaking to us, we learn truth. When we hear something on television, run to our Bibles, open your Bibles, and read it for yourself. And see what truth is. Even with the popular preachers on television. I turned to one station one day and I heard a preacher preaching something. It was terrible theology and completely unbiblical. Teaching about certain beliefs of the church that they were talking about. So the problem with pop culture is that it disregards the Bible, which disregards God and His Son, Jesus of Nazareth, a carpenter's son who spent his life trying to show the world, I'm the one that the Scriptures were talking about. The problem with pop culture and popular opinion is that it is driving fear and pride into people and leading them away from the truth. And the problem with pop culture is that it's crucifying Jesus all over again. Imagine how much pain that causes the Son of God, the one who came in the name of the Lord, the blessed King of Israel. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank You for Your Word.